And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett, and at this time, live via his home or wherever he's at, we'll turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, good. Can everyone hear me in there?
Yeah,
okay,
man. You come across great today. I think I fixed a little glitch from last week, so we're...
I'm coming to you live from the man cave down in my basement.
All right.
I'll be glad when this stuff's over with. Hey, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We're in Prospect, Ohio. You can reach us at 740-494-2222. And this is another edition of the Pastor Spot radio program. Calling in on the line with me, I have Terry Tackett. And Terry, it's good to hear from you tonight.
Well, thank you, Pastor. You too, as always.
It's been a been kind of a difficult time getting these things done, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been quite a chore to try and get across to the radio. And how's it doing? How are you guys doing with guests coming into the station?
We're getting them periodically, but we're also doing a lot of these like live remotes, like with the with you on this.
Right. Right. Well, I'll tell you, we've been pretty busy here. We've been doing parking lot service at the park in Prospect, and that's been working out very, very well for us. excuse me. That's been working out very well for us. I'm going to shut something off. Bear with me, buddy.
Sure, sure.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, that's been working out very well for us. We've been working in the at about 10:30 every Sunday. We have everyone, they stay in their cars, and they park in the lot there, and we just live stream, try to live stream it. Last week, I'll tell you what, it was kind of odd last Sunday. I kept getting my feed interrupted by all kinds of weird spam. The week prior, never had a problem. And so what I did was, when the service was over, later on that evening, I went back in my office and re-recorded it in my office. And I still had twice during the broadcast that somehow spam just jumped right into the middle of the recording and interrupted it, and I had to hit it twice to get it to stop. And I don't know what's going on with that, but that was kind of frustrating. But I was able to get the message across, and it looked like there were a couple breaks, but it worked out pretty well. I'll tell you though, the attendance at the parking lot in Prospect Park is really great, and we're getting a lot of people come out. Some people coming out that their churches aren't having service. So they're coming out to have a service, and as long as they can hear and we keep the sound where it needs to be, it's kind of nice,
Yeah, it's kind of a nice change of pace.
How often do you get to go listen to a church service and be at a church service with other people, but you get to stay in your car and adjust your temperature and those kind of things? And
yeah.
And it's nice because, to be honest with you, I can get a lot of people I can still make eye contact with, and some of them will, you'll see them nod their head when you say something, and so it really is kind of easy on my end to give that message, because you know it's kind of hard sometimes to give a message when you get no feedback. I mean, immediately, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like teaching to a wall or teaching to a flat screen. Sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not. When I redid the message Sunday, it actually came out pretty good, but it's just kind of interesting. Hey, I missed the show this morning where Scott was talking to the people, officials in Marion about the situation at the jail and or the prison. And that's gotten pretty crazy, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
The interesting thing, though, so many people have tested positive, but yet they say so many of them are not actually sick.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder just how widespread this thing really is, because, outside of outside of places like the prison where they're doing it in mass, you know, if you're not sick, you're not going to go to the hospital, you're not going to get tested. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder how many people just have it and don't know it. Or have had it and don't know. Well, what do you think?
Like I say, I know I got sick there at the end of February, and I would have bet money that the sickness I had was the same symptoms that...
Terry, for some reason, I'm struggling to hear you.
I said, when I got sick there at the end of February, I said, I would have bet money that the symptoms I had was the same symptoms that is...
Well, see, I heard that I heard that from several people, and... some people that were, a whole group of people that were on the same sports team got these same symptoms clear back in February, January, February. And they were, you know, just the same things they're talking about. The lack of taste, couldn't taste anything, fever, could hardly breathe. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you don't have the flu. So, you know, I don't know, it's very possible. You know, I'll tell you, it's been this has been a challenge, I think, for everyone. Just an unbelievable challenge. People are not used to this. I think I think that when it first happened and we were first given the stay-at-home order and people were not going to work, I think it was kind of new and kind of different. And people were kind of saying, okay, let's feel this thing out, and wow, this is going to be wild, you know, I'm going to stay home. And, you know, even though something's not good, the newness of it can give us some sort of an anticipation. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that the newness has worn off. I think most people are ready to get back to some form of normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think?
I think so.
You know, I just believe that people are ready to go back to work. A lot of the stimulus checks have not reached people. There's been a huge, well, I'm one of them. I haven't seen one. But a lot of people haven't received that. And you know, something very interesting that I heard today, though, is that, you know, they gave that stimulus in order to keep things moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And typically when people get a... some form of money like that, what they would do, and actually back when they, you know, when people do get their income tax, they ask them how they're going to do it. So many people they say, I'm going to spend it. And there's only about, they say less than 2% of the people say they're going to save it. But when they've polled people with this stimulus that's coming out, 25% of them have said they're going to bank it. And so I don't know that that's going to do everything they thought it would, but it's interesting that people have enough concern. That's what's coming in. They want to do something with it because they're not sure what's going to happen down the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we've seen some of the repercussions of it on Sunday whenever I worked at Kroger. I mean, you could tell just the stuff that was being bought, you could definitely tell it was stimulus money. I mean,
like what?
I said just some of the things that people were buying, you could definitely tell it was stimulus money. I mean, you know.
So they were buying things that normally weren't basic staples.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say out of the ordinary, because I mean, but I seen like a lot of T-bone steaks. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, things like that. And,
well, I'll tell you what, I made a run yesterday and went to a store and I got stimulated by some of the stuff they had on sale that was like off the bone ham and stuff. That stimulates me.
That's right. The 99 cents a pound.
But I think that it's good to see people out and doing things. I hope that people just stay sensible but aren't afraid. I don't think that we should be afraid of this. I think a healthy fear is one thing, but a paralyzing fear is another. And I think, especially with a lot of our elderly, there's been a paralyzing fear. And we have to try to continually encourage people. You know, we've been through these things in different ways throughout the years, something that has just scared people to death. And then we find out, you know, well, maybe it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. You know, this, I don't mean to take anything away from this and that. What it is, but you know, if you start thinking about the amount of people that probably have had it that we don't know about, and you plug that in with the fatalities, I would say the fatality rate goes way down. And especially, you know, the prison, I think, you know, where are we at Marion Prison numbers right now? Close to 2,000?
Yeah, I thought Scott read off yesterday, 1,860-something or something like something to that effect.
Of the prisoners and then
the
inmates and then
279 staff or something like that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's too high. Maybe it's 100-and-some staff.
But of the hospitalized, the number's way down there. It's like, what, 200 maybe?
Yeah. And only of all those numbers at the prison, only one death.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that when you look at those kind of numbers, and, you know, that's a good example of a mass population being checked. You wonder, you know, how... I think we've done a lot of right things. I think it was smart at this point just to stop school until next year, because, my word, they're only going to have 3 weeks left anyway. And, you know, the buildings were already cleaned. Everyone's trying to, you know, they'd have to switch back to the other system real quick, and... It's sad for kids that were graduating this year, and I know my grandson Jonah was heartbroken that he didn't have, he wasn't going to be able to play baseball this spring. And then, of course, they shut down the league here at the park as soon as that word came out the school was closed. So, you know, that's huge every year, these kids playing ball, and there ain't going to be any ball this summer. Mm-hmm. But maybe kids will get back to doing the things we used to do, Terry. We used to make bow and arrows with sticks and string and go out and play Army and Fort and mm-hmm. play football in the side lot. And you know what I mean?
A lot of bike riding. And
I'm kind of hoping that since there's no ball, that they'll open up the park and let people play on the diamonds anyway. You know, just come and pick up and have a game of ball if people are responsible and don't tear things up. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Because it's nice to be able to go somewhere and have that backstop and bases if a group of kids just want to get together and play. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, in all honesty, other than I don't know what you do about tagging people out, maybe you just do it differently, figure something out where you can still keep a distance but play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We just have to see how that whole thing pans out. But, you know, I'll tell you something I've been encouraged about very much so is that I have had more people contact me wanting to know things about God, about their spiritual life, and wanting to come to church, wanting to come to the Sunday in-car service. I've had more activity in that manner than I have seen in years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you normally don't get people calling every week, several people saying, hey, Pastor, I'm so-and-so, and I've been out of church for a long time, and I think I need to get, you know, and... that just, I love it. That part of it is great. I think people are examining their lives and thinking, hey, you know what? What would happen if I got this and went to the hospital and never saw my family? What would become of me? And I think that's a healthy thing to think about, because the day does come, you know, we're all mortal, and the day does come when we draw that last breath, and it's good to see people thinking about, you know, I was born in... They may say, you know, I was born in 1965, and maybe I'll pass away in 2035. What do I do on that dash in between? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One's a birth date, one's a death date, but what do I do on the in-between time? What's my story going to be? You know, what's my legacy going to be? What's my relationship with God going to be in that time? Do I just do my own thing and take my chances? You know... Scott, I'm sorry, Terry.
Okay.
I don't mean to call you Scott.
That's all right.
It's one of you two all the time, anyway. Right? So, Terry, you know, it's. I know that you, we all go through this thing sometimes in life where life just doesn't always pan out the way we thought it was going to be, and some people feel that I was dealt a bad hand, and then you meet other people that maybe they were what they felt, dealt a bad hand, but. But they managed to play the game out and come on top anyway. And I don't think it's necessarily the hand you're dealt. It's what you do with what you're dealt. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get the gist of that, yeah.
You know, there's so many people that, you know, come from obscure or poor backgrounds or low socioeconomic classes, and that just really extremely do well with their lives. You know, regardless of how any of us feel or don't feel about Dr. Amy Acton, that is, we see her on the news every day with the governor. She came from a rough upbringing background. I mean, if anyone has an excuse to have failed in life, she would have that excuse, but she hasn't. And there's so many other people that I love hearing about, those kind of people that take what they have and they press forward. I think that people, we as much as we say, even in our teaching and in school and socially, that we want to teach people to value who they are, because of the things that we put in front of people, what we say with our mouth and what actually comes out is not the same thing. Let me explain that a minute. You tell kids in school, you know, all of you have intrinsic value. All of you can make something of yourself. All of you are specially made. And, of course, I teach all young people that, you know, God made them specially with the design for their life. But then as we go through things and we implement programs, we implement a program that is geared towards leaning towards raising up people of a certain group and not another group. I'll give you an example of that would be a pet peeve of mine that I have, and I've mentioned this probably a year and a half ago on the program, but it's a real pet peeve of mine, and that is the term gifted child. Some will be in school and we'll have what they call a gifted class, or we'll hear a parent say, you know, my child is gifted. And does that mean the rest of the kids are just chopped liver? No. I believe that all kids are gifted. God has gifted them with different abilities and different talents. And we have made this category of people that we call gifted. And, you know, when the bell rings and it's time for those gifted kids to get up and go to their special class because they're gifted and special, it tells the other kids that they don't quite measure up to that child. And the problem with that, I see with that, is that, wow, that's just crazy. Because, you know, a lot of kids that are very good at either, be it math or you know, some of the more difficult academic subjects that would be in that gifted room, when it comes to their social ability and their ability to, their psychological ability and their ability to deal with people and their ability to work out common problems, some of them just don't meet the mark. Now, I'm not saying they all do, but a lot of them do not meet the mark. So then some of those kids that are left behind and told they're not gifted, you know, they do meet that mark. You know, they do excel and get ahead in life. And, you know, I don't think that it's a fair statement to make. And then when we have kids that are, you know, pulled out and held up as a sports icon, we don't even, you know, kids don't play intramural sports anymore because there just wasn't room for it. By the time, you know, you're in sixth grade, if you're not starting to excel, you just don't get to play anymore. The other kids used to be able to go after school and kids play in a sandlot or, you know, those kind of things. But you know what? Now those kids are all in travel ball, and the other kids they're just kicked to the side. And they're not even, what do you mean you can't play? You don't know, you're no good. You know, we're the all-stars over here. And so I guess what I'm getting at is here on one hand, we have teachers and everyone, you know, promoting this idea that that all you all have value. You all are equally of value. You know, you can do anything. Just do it, blah, blah, blah. But then they set up a situation, and they design a program that tells kids that, no, you're not really. You don't cut the mustard. You know, these are kids, are special kids over here, and you're not. And before you know it, what happens is you may have a kid that is, you know, kind of on the fence as to the direction he's going. Am I going to try to excel in school, or am I just going to give up? Well, you may have a group of kids over here that have no drive whatsoever, and, you know, it's a lot easier because those kids are just going to tell them, hey, look, we accept you fine. You know, we're the loser group over here. Come with us. you know, we've already been told it, we know it, so hey, you know, you come to us, there's not going to be any pressure. And a lot of good kids go down that road because of that very situation. And rather than reaching down and making a place for those kids and showing them their importance. Now, I don't mean to, and I get accused of this all the time, I don't mean to paint with this huge broad brush. And I'm not saying all teachers, I'm not saying all programs, I'm not saying all students, but I'm talking a generalization. These are some of the things that go on. And it was very interesting. One of the funny things that I saw on social media about a week into the parents teaching at home was they someone said they went out and saw a mother scraping off the bumper sticker that said, my kid is an honor student at such and such a school, because they had a taste of them at home. But that's kind of funny, but the kick of that is that the funny thing is that a lot of kids, it's very possible that they're feeling more self-worth being at home than they did at school. And if parents are truly trying and doing their job, I was working with my grandson a little bit today on some of his homework, and this is putting some parents through some paces. Some parents are good teachers already, and it works great, but other parents, it's just not their thing. But, you know, the kids are still getting their work done. Things are going well. But it's given them a chance to reintroduce themselves to their family, to their siblings, to find better ways to get along, to find things to do together. My wife said to me the other night, she said, you know, it's nice us being home more, and we can just sit down in the evening and kind of do our thing, you know. And, you know, I hope, Terry, I hope and pray that most people are seeing that and that most people are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
There's an aggravating side to this. You know, I'll give you an example. I've been starting some seeds here at home for my garden, because
mm-hmm.
Why not, right?
Right.
And I was looking for some of those 12-ounce peat pots. Some of my plants need to be transplanted into those at this point. And first of all, I don't know where to get them, because I don't know who has them anymore or who's not got them. You can't just go to the store and shop like you did before. And it's kind of like, daggone it, you know. With something as simple as jumping in your car and going to get peat pots, you can't do anymore. You got to try to lump stuff together, and, you know, things are just more difficult. So I'm going to do this in another direction. I'll make my own pots out of something, but. It's just interesting. It's different. You know, my granddaughter is getting married in July, and they had a huge, beautiful wedding planned. Just a wonderful wedding planned, and she has to ask herself now, she and her fiancé, what are we going to do? Are we going to be able to have that many people at that time? I'm getting ready in a couple weeks here to marry a friend of mine and his fiancé. That they also had a wedding planned, and because of the distancing and the gathering rules, they can't do what they did before. It's going to be a very intimate, small wedding with just his two kids and her two kids, and they're going to get married, and isn't that a wonderful thing? But yet they had to completely adjust plans. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, you know. I feel for the families trying to do funerals. It's next to impossible to be able to do it the way you would like to have done it. And, you know, on and on these things go. Look at the radio station, you know. We can't just – I love coming in there and doing the thing with you and doing it live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it sounds better. It definitely sounds better, you know, when I hear it. So, and then, you know, I love to tape it too and put it out there right away. And, you know, a lot of those things are kind of taking a back seat to this virus.
Yeah.
Certainly the churches are.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Just as a pastor to a layperson, or, a parishioner,
mm-hmm.
Or a common, you know, churchgoer, what do you think about, what's your opinion on the churches that are still trying to meet? They're trying to buck the
system. To be honest with you, from the whole start of this thing, I thought they should have been exempt.
I didn't hear you.
I said from the start of this whole pandemic, when they ordered everyone to stay at home, I really, really thought that the churches should be exempt from this. I thought they should have been able to meet all the way through this whole thing.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I...
Because if there's any place, really, that you can social distance, I'm sure you can social distance at church. I mean, I've been there and I've seen, you know... The
yeah, pews. We can figure it out.
Yeah.
I think that with me, it's kind of like, we're going to take the high road here and do what everyone else is doing. And although... never in this country's history have we been ordered to not go to church. And I think people are having a real problem with that. And still, if you listen to the president and you listen to the governor, too, there is that distancing order in place, but churches meet the businesses that are allowed to stay open.
The essential.
Yeah, essential. Churches have been listed as essential.
Yeah.
And so that's different. But at the same time, even if they're going to meet, they need to try to social distance. And I think it's possible,
mm-hmm.
Depending on the size of the church. You know, we've got, you know, some of these old churches in our small towns may only have 30 or 35 members, and they used to be able to have 200 in them. Well, if they can't stay 6 feet apart, I don't know who can't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I think come May 1st, I think that's one of the first places that might be open back up.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, honestly, I've ran around in my mind, well, what's some ways that we can do it to make it work right? Well, if I can't, and I'll be honest with you, if everyone comes to church at our church, there's no way that we can stay at 6 feet. Kiss can't do it. There's no way. But what if we... ran two services.
Ah, good point.
And
good
gave point. Ourselves that extra space.
Yeah.
That's why one thing I love about being able to do the service live, most of the people in the church listen to it, and a whole lot of people outside of the church. Actually, there's a lot more people listening to the message now than I think were before, because there's so many people outside of the church that view it and comment on it, and I think that's kind of cool, really. But, yeah, we do need to get back where we're supposed to be. I talked to a guy yesterday from that lives up around northeast Ohio, and he was talking about, he's on the board at the church that he goes to, and he was saying, you know, it's really odd. He said normally was telling me the winter prior than that before this one when they had everybody. Stay at home on a Sunday because of some really bad weather up there. And he said that, you know, that church, his particular church, lost about $5,000 in giving that day. And the whole year they never recuperated it because people would, you know, for some reason, if people don't come that Sunday, they just pick back up where they left off and they don't make up that week they weren't there. But he said the interesting thing this time is people are being very faithful in their giving. And I would have to concur. Our people are the same way. I mean, our giving has been great. People understand the church has needs. And there just seems to be a little different environment about a lot of this right now. People are trying more to take care of one another. And I'm certainly glad that they are. We have a lot of people, I'll be honest, are going to take this stimulus money and go out and buy stuff in Hog Wild, and they're not going to... they're not going to pay their electric bills and are going to rent. And I don't know what's going to happen when all this stuff comes to a point where they got to pay. It could get a little crazy. Hey, Terry, I don't have a clock in front of me.
Yeah.
Where are we at time-wise?
You got 15 minutes.
Okay. But, you know, I hope that when people get back together that... And are able to start working and all of a sudden the landlord comes knocking or the whoever, that people have tried their best to either keep that stuff paid or keep it back to do it, because if not, there's going to be a lot of vacancies. And there's going to be a lot of utilities being shut off. Because you think about it, we're going to be into the summertime, so we won't have that winter no shutoff rule when it's cold. And I hope people are doing everything they can to pay it. I mean, think about this, though. If you're, say that you bring in, I'm just going to use a figure, say that you bring in $3,000 a month or $4,000 a month, whatever it is, and you, your bills are based on that, and this stimulus is only going to give you, say two people in the household, $2,400, you're still behind, whether you get that coming in or not. And like I said, a lot of people haven't even seen it. I haven't seen it, and it's just because of the way I file. And I will. But, you know, everybody that that had it deposited early on because they get refunds and whatnot, if you weren't in that group, it comes differently, I suppose. But, yeah, it's just, you know, we're going to be in a tough time regardless. The stimulus, you know, I think the country stepped up and tried to help small business. They tried to help people individually. And they're the ones that made the stay-in-place order, right?
Yep.
So if they made the stay-in-place order, you know, if you're going to tell me I can't go to work, you better help me out of here, if you know what I mean. And granted, it was stay-at-home order was for a reason. And but no one can honestly put their finger on it and say, if I'd gone to work at my pet shop, would I have got it or not? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just going to be a real interesting time. I'm sure I'm glad I've got God to lean on trust every day. I know that whatever happens, he's going to be in control. Does that change the fact that this is a hard, difficult time? No.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it can be stressful for everyone. One of the hardest stresses I have right now is, man, I got a huge family and a bunch of grandkids, and I can't even go visit them. I can't sit down and spend time with them. You know, I realize now how spoiled Shirley and I have been, because I know so many people that their grandkids are halfway across the country, or, you know, that kind of a thing, and their kids are. And we've always had our family right here and all of our grandkids right here. And, man, I'll tell you what, you talk about withdrawal. You know, that's some pretty serious withdrawal when you can't see the grandkids. You're used to seeing them all the time.
I know.
But they do come by and keep their distance and wave. And my son came over the other night, and I walked out by the driveway and talked to him from 6 feet away from the truck. And that's hard. That's no fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just keep praying for all these people working in the hospitals that are seeing the worst of the worst, and they're being exposed to the worst of the worst. I've got them right in my family. My daughter-in-law is a nurse, and my daughter is a PCA, and they're right there in the mix of things. My son-in-law, it's kind of funny. No one in my family's out of work. Daughter Holly is doing her work with her school kids from home, but everybody else they're actually in essential businesses, and that's what they're doing. And I've got one son-in-law that does IT work, but he works from home anyway. So, it really hasn't financially hit us. If anything it's done for our family is we're realizing how much money we spend because we're not outspending it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of comical. I have a change jar that I throw my excess change in every night. Well, that change jar is not getting any money put in it. I emptied it here about a month or so ago, and I started over. Well, because I'm not going anywhere, I'm not breaking any bills and putting any change in that thing, and it hadn't moved. It's kind of made me realize how unnecessarily maybe I was spending some money. Because I certainly haven't missed anything.
Right.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you notice yourself spending less, Jerry?
Yep.
And that's not a bad thing, is it?
Mm-hmm.
I just hope, you know, and I really want to encourage people out there. The church has been a warm place for a lot of individuals. you know, we're still doing all that we can to reach out to people and help feed people and encourage people. And you know, I went out a week or so ago and I got a guy a Bible that didn't have one, and a study Bible is what he was looking for. And he called me and he said, I really want to start understanding the Bible, I want to find a study Bible. I said, I'll get you one, don't worry about it. And you know, we have Bibles, and we have Bibles people brought into the church and left and different things. And I got a Bible, and just those are wonderful things to be able to do for people. I encourage parents, you know. I want to make sure everybody, I'm going to say this very slowly. My phone number at the church is 740-494-2222. That's a real easy number to remember. And if you call in and leave a message, I promise you, I will call you back and encourage you. I don't want people sitting out there being discouraged and not having anyone to talk to. And I want to hear to tell you on this show, with this pastor, you can never say that you don't have anyone that you can talk to. Because if you talk to me and if I can't meet your needs as to what you need and what you want to talk about, I will certainly direct you to someone that can. Maybe it's a lady that needs to talk to a lady very badly. Well, I've got plenty of those that I can you know, hook you up with to talk. And you know, it's just so important that we don't forget one another. I don't like people being lonely and sad. And I want to hear from people, and I want to encourage them. Boy, it makes my day when we can lift someone's spirit and show them that they have a loving God that loves them and wants to be there and listen to them, and they can be part of that family of God. I think it's just wonderful. And, you know, we're going to continue as long as we can, as long as we're out of the church, if the park continues to let us, we're going to continue meeting there. We've got some guidelines. We can't do it in the rain. And if it does rain, we'll just do it online like most are doing it. But it's wonderful being able to watch people pull into the lot, and it just reminds me of the old drive-in type movie thing almost, you know. And I know that Billy Graham did a lot of that kind of stuff when he was young, and a lot of pastors did. They had drive-in places where people just drive in and they just preach from a podium, and. You know, we may be finding ourselves doing a lot more of that, right?
Yep.
It's just being able to find that place where you have enough room to do it. And yeah, they're out there, but most big companies work on Sunday, so you can't use their lots. But it works out, and I certainly appreciate the Park Commission allowing us to do that. But, you know, we have to make sure even at that we're telling people, you know, stay in your cars, make sure you keep the distance, because... You know, no one wants to get in any trouble. But anyway, how are you doing, buddy? You doing
good,
okay?
Good. Yeah. Yep.
Are you encouraged?
Yep, I am. I'm seeing a little light at the end of the tunnel here.
Yeah, you didn't get much of a vacation, did you?
Nope. I was quarantined the whole 10 days, pretty much.
Why? Wow. What? Now, why were you quarantined?
Just self quarantined. I just.
Huh?
I chose to do it myself.
Okay. Well. You know, we've all been kind of quarantined, haven't we?
I know this is going to probably sound dumb, but the reason why I did it was because they were suggesting 2 weeks, and I figured if I could get my 2 weeks out of the way, you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense, but...
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And then they extended it on you, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. But like I say, I mean, it is, you know, it is what it is. I'm disappointed more over sports, I think, than anything.
Yeah, really, that's been kind of tough. You know, wrestling especially is... Wow, you just can't have that close contact. And that's one sport you're really got close contact.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't see. It's taking a hit. I heard someone told me today they were watching a program and that NASCAR may not survive this.
Yeah.
And some of the other sports.
Well, I know they've started like 25% pay cuts in a bunch of the different sports.
Well, you know, what are they going to do, right? But then again, at the same time, maybe some of these large sport teams and ownerships, and one thing they need to do is start saving for a rainy day and have a fund for that. And maybe they need to cut back on salary to do it. I think our salaries are ridiculous anyway. But if they cut back across the board and make it a rule, either the players would accept it or they wouldn't play, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of nice because we do like to watch. I don't like watching reruns of stuff that's already happened.
Yeah.
You know, half the excitement's not knowing the outcome.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, right.
Absolutely.
Pastor, we got about 4 minutes, so.
About 4 minutes. Boy, that's a long time. what I mean by that is, these days get pretty long, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do.
And
sure.
It's nice to get out. You know, I was doing the other day, yesterday, I was prayer walking in town. I don't know if you're familiar with that is. You just walk around your neighborhoods and you pray for individuals as you walk by their house. And it's pretty easy in Prospect. I know who lives in just about every house. But, you know, you pray for people as you walk by, and it's not only great exercise, but it's very uplifting and encouraging. And I'll tell you, when we got done walking, I really felt like I had accomplished something. And I felt good about it. And, you know, those are some things we can do. Lift people up in prayer. Check on people continually. Is your family doing okay, buddy?
Yeah, you know, they are, but man, my dad's just really struggling with this, you know, because he's had surgery and stuff. He's afraid to get out, and, you know. And
yeah. Yeah, there is. That is hard for people that are afraid, that can't get out and are afraid. And I talked to a fellow the other day that his mom went in the nursing home because she had a stroke just a couple weeks ago. And no sooner got to the nursing home and turned around and got this virus. And, man, it's just tough. It's scary. It truly is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll be glad when we get through this. Everyone's going to have a lot of stories to tell. I hope that people learn from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope people glean the good things out of it and move forward in a better way. I pray that they do that. Hey, I want to invite everyone to our parking lot service. That's at Prospect Park at 10:30 on Sunday morning. If it's shining, if it's raining, I will just be online at Community Christian Fellowship, and you can watch it that way. But I'd like to invite everyone. Like I said, please feel free to call me. The number's easy, 494-2222. And, Terry, I thank you very much for tonight. Let's close this show with some prayer.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, I lift up this our Marion community to you, and I'll especially lift up our elderly and those in fear, that you'd calm them, that you'd keep them safe and healthy. Lord, they get the situation figured out at the prison, and all those families worried about their family. Be with our young children, Lord. Be with our teachers, our parents. Just, Lord, let us seek you for guidance and for strength. And, Lord, we thank you so much. God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, for us, that we may have new life. We thank you for your love and grace. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, I'll see you, buddy. You have a good one.
All right, thanks. Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 101.